Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, which I think probably isn't anyone at the moment, but my name's Mark Schnering. I'm the minister of the church here, and just add my welcome to you, on top of Kirsty's, to our Christmas service. It's great to share this time with you. And it's always great this time of year. We never know who's going to turn up for the Christmas services. There's regulars who have gone places, and there's lots of people who visit us, which is wonderful. So thank you for joining us today. Now I'm going to speak for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and particularly for children, well, only for children. The adults don't have a choice but to sit there and listen. But the children, older children, I think it'd be great if you sat and listened. I reckon you're up for it. But there's also a few things for you to do throughout this talk. But if you're struggling, there's a couple of tables up the back with some activity sheets, colouring sheets and things like that. So parents can make a choice about where their kids might like to be for this time. Well, over the last 4 weeks at our Sunday church services, so our regular church services, we've been looking at the passage that Lissy read to us just a moment ago. We've just been looking at a couple of verses at a time each week, so having quite a detailed look at that passage over the last 4 weeks. And we've been doing that because it helps us to understand who this baby is whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. So who then does John, the author of that book, say this baby is? What have we learnt over these last 4 weeks at church about this baby Jesus? Well, I want to tell you about seven big things that come from that passage and from our exploration of those verses. And as I do, this is where the kids come in. I'm going to need a little bit of help for them to stick some words on the manger. So as I say each of the words, I'll ask for a volunteer to come and put that word which describes Jesus onto the manger. So get ready to put up your hand if you want to participate in that. Now the first thing that John tells us about Jesus is that he is the Word. Is there someone that would like to come and pop that one up? Now, describing someone as the Word may sound like a funny thing to say about someone, but what it is saying to us about Jesus is that by his life, by his words, by his actions, he is revealing something, he's speaking something about who God is. So if we look at Jesus in the Bible, and everything that he says and everything that he does, it tells us something about who God is. So Jesus is God's word to us. Now the second thing that John tells us about Jesus is that he is eternal. Now I said this last night, and I must have said it rather quickly because a few kids thought I said Jesus is a turtle. So just to make sure that you understand, I'm saying Jesus is eternal. We got that? Jesus is eternal. So if there's someone that would like to come up and pop that one on. Now, eternal is a big word, not exactly a word that we use in our everyday speech. What does it mean for Jesus to be eternal? Well, John says that Jesus, the Word, was there from the very beginning of everything. So before anything else was, before you and I were here, before any human being was around, before the universe existed, Jesus was there. Jesus has always been there. That means he is eternal. Now the third thing that John tells us about Jesus is that he is actually God. Someone to put that one up. Now that's a very big thing to say about any person, saying that Jesus is God. But that's one of the many big and unique claims about the Christian faith which makes it unlike any other religion in the world. And it dispels the myth that all religions are the same. Other religions talk about Jesus being a created being or a human being, just another great human figure. But the Bible says that Jesus is actually God. Well, the fourth thing that John tells us about this baby Jesus in these opening verses of his gospel is that he is the creator of the universe. Next person to put that word up. Speedy. So John says in the third verse that we just heard read out before, he says that through him, referring to Jesus, he says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So that means everything and everyone, including you and I, we owe our existence to Jesus. We wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be alive without him. And related to that, John then goes on to say that Jesus is the giver of life. Someone for that word? So John says that in Jesus is life. So the breath we have, the ability to function and to live life, all comes from Jesus. So he created all things and he's given life to all things. So we have no life apart from him. Jesus is life itself. Well, so far we've got 5 big things that John says about this baby Jesus. That he is the Word, that he is eternal, that he is in fact God, that he is the creator, that he is life itself. Next, John goes on to say that he is the bearer of light. Someone want to put that one up? So this is saying that emanating from Jesus and the life that he brings is light. So what Jesus does is that he helps us to see through life. He helps us to not stumble through life. He's like this great big torch that shines in the darkness, helping us find our way through life. But only if we ask him, only if we let him do that. And finally, although John doesn't use this word in these verses, he tells us that in Jesus is an incredible hope. So would someone like to put the word hope up for us? So related to that, what John tells us in verse 12 is of the wonderful thing that happens to any one of us if we receive him, if we believe and trust in him. And what he tells us is that when we do that, we become children of God. We get adopted into God's family. It's an amazing possibility that is open to every person to become a child of God, to become a fully fledged member of his family. So look at all those words, those ideas that John has painted for us at the start of his gospel, describing this baby Jesus, that he is the Word, that he is eternal, that he is in fact God, that he is the creator, that in him is life and light and hope. Now these are big and amazing things, aren't they? If you stop just to think about them for a moment, and not words that you would use to describe any other baby in history. But John has one more amazing thing to tell us about this baby in the opening section of his book about Jesus. And it's from the verse we have on the wall there, which our children over the last 4 weeks have been gradually putting up, colouring in and putting up the the letters, a certain number of letters each week, until finally last Sunday we had the whole verse complete. So if you can read, please read that with me. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." John chapter 1, verse 14. So the last thing I want to put on the manger is the words "with us." Thank you. Now this is the most amazing thing for us to contemplate. Jesus, the Word, eternally with God and actually God, the one through whom all things were made, the one who is the life giver and the light bearer, and the one through whom we have the hope of being adopted into God's family. This Jesus, this God, stepped out of heaven and came as one of us, took on our skin, but also took on our frailty, our vulnerability and weakness, and he lived among us. Jesus exchanged a throne in heaven for a manger on earth. Or as the Christmas carol "Once in Royal David City" says, "He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all." It's amazing, isn't it? If you stop to think about that. But the question is, why? Why would Jesus want to come down, leaving his throne in heaven, and be with stinky creatures like you and I? Why would he want to do that? Well, there are at least three reasons that make this baby Jesus the one that every single person, every single one of you, every single person in the world needs to know. Firstly, Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us is the supreme affirmation of the value of human existence. For all our sin, for all our fallenness, we are highly valued by Jesus, by God himself. And most of us know that we are valued by someone when they want to spend time with us, when they give up all sorts of other things in order to spend time with us. But how much more valued are we by God that he would give up so much in order to be with each one of us? To be present with us. Well, secondly, Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us demonstrates God's identification with our human life, and in particular with our weakness and our suffering. There is no parallel anywhere else in the world's religions to the sympathetic presence of Jesus sharing our human struggle with us. If you have suffered physically, Jesus knows what it's like. If you have suffered rejection or exclusion, Jesus knows what it's like. But he also knows the joys of life that we experience. As the Christmas carol I mentioned before, "Once in Royal David City," goes on to say, describing Jesus, it says that he feels for all our sadness and he shares in all our gladness. Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us is the supreme affirmation of the value of human existence, the supreme value of you. And it also demonstrates God's identification with us in our human life. Now, these are wonderful things, aren't they? But Jesus didn't just come to affirm our value and identify with us. He ultimately came to save us. The Bible tells us the story of every single human being, including all of us, how we reject God who made us and gave us life and breath. And this rejection of God the Bible calls sin. And sin is what separates us from God, the source of all good and life, and ultimately leads to being separated from him forever, completely cut off for all eternity from life and from good. But because of his great love for us, Jesus came to deal with this problem as only he could. And so about 33 years after his birth, according to God's good plan, Jesus was killed on a cross. That's why we've got the cross kind of lurking in the background there, because that was always part of God's reason for why Jesus came into the world. Jesus willingly took on the punishment, the death that each one of us deserve for our rejection of him, for our sin. But then he came back to life on the third day, showing God was satisfied with his sacrifice of himself and opening the way for everyone else to follow. What a good and loving God who sent his son Jesus into the world that we inhabit. This Jesus who is the Word, who is eternal, who is God himself, who is creator, who is life, who is light, who is hope. To affirm our value, to identify with us, and ultimately to save each one of us. This is who this baby is, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. And to enjoy the benefit and, to enjoy and benefit from all that Jesus is and all that he came to be, particularly as our Saviour. We don't have to have been good like you do for Santa. You just have to believe in Jesus. And to receive him by repenting or saying sorry for your sin and trusting him and following him for the rest of your days. If you want to repent or say sorry to God for rejecting him, either for the first time or for the 500th time, shortly we'll have an opportunity where we can do that together. And if you want to pursue anything that you've heard further from me, then please feel very free to talk to me or to someone else that you think might be able to help you. But for now, we're going to sing a song which sums up much of what I've been saying.